You're listening to Morning Edition here on GPB. I'm Leah Fleming. Good morning. This month, the hip-hop group A Tribe Called Quest returned from a 20-year hiatus with their new album, We Got It From Here. Thank you for your service. The album debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. It features the late rapper, one of my favorites, Fife Dawg, who passed away earlier this year at the age of 45. Atlanta's own DJ Rasta Root, or Dion Liverpool, which is his birth name, was Fife Dawg's manager, collaborator, and friend and brother. The two of them co-founded Smoking Needles Records in Atlanta nearly 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. He is in studio, and we are so honored to have you.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm honored too.
All right. So for the younger generation, the young folks, tell us what A Tribe Called Quest and Fife Dawg meant to the world of music and hip hop.
Tribe Called Quest and Fife Dawg meant a lot to the world. They were one of the groups, if not one of the only groups in the mid-90s that kind of shifted where music was going because of all the gangster rap coming out of the West Coast. Mm-hmm. They came with a different sound, different textures. They started sampling jazz music. So from them and from their music spawned a whole generation of musicians like the Fugees, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, and it goes on and on and on. So they birthed a new generation of music listeners and a new genre of music, if you will.
What do you think of the new album? You've been a part of that album.
Yes, yes. I think what I liked about it was, more than anything, was I was there for the whole process of recording it. But maybe 80 to 90% of the beats that Fife actually recorded on were switched out for sample reasons or just creative reasons. So when I heard the album in its completion, I was able to listen as a fan because I hadn't heard any of the beats before. So I was a little nervous at first because I didn't really honestly like the skeleton stuff they were doing. It didn't click with me. But once it was complete and I got to hear it, you know, in my car, I was very pleased and it's grown on me a lot.
Yeah. And you heard Fife in there.
Fife in there, and I think the unique part about that is I have specific memories and of instances of when he was recording those verses of when we were there. So that's a nice memory for me.
Yeah. He wasn't just a rapper. He was obviously a man. Yes. He was somebody's husband.
Husband, you know, a crazy sports fanatic. So he always said if anybody offered me a sportscaster job, I would leave music in a heartbeat. So he loved it probably more than music.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was like Rain Man with his sports stats. And he was amazing, like, memory and recollection of years and championships and playoffs and what colleges they went to. So, yeah, he loved sports.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think about the music scene here in Atlanta? What's missing that we need? Mm-hmm. You come from Canada, but you are in Atlanta and you've lived here for many years.
Sure, sure. I don't know. I don't know if anything's really missing. I think if you dig deep enough and you look into the scene, you're going to find something you like. It may not be the abundance of what you're looking for as far as frequency of events, but I think there's something for everybody here. Atlanta's becoming slowly, even though it's the South and people consider it slow or whatever, it's becoming very diverse. It's a city that has a great selection of foods. It's a foodie city now. And I think music is right behind that. You know, I think just artists need to step out and stop being scared to create music that they really like. And I think that's another thing this Tribe album is doing is making people feel like, wait a minute, I can express myself without feeling like I'm going to be judged by making music that I'm currently representing.
Yeah. Talking about making music, you make music.
Yes, I do.
You do.
Yes, I do.
Tell us a little bit more about Smoking Needles Records.
Yeah. So Smoking Needles Records was originally founded in 1996 in Japan with a friend of mine. It was basically DJ oriented. Then a couple years after that, I moved to Atlanta, met Fife, and he heard the name and it kind of just resonated with him. So he said, hey, let's start a record label. So we decided to start an official record label in the States where we would release all our projects, his projects, my DJ projects, and pull in other artists and help artists get their music out.
And so you all, what are you working on now? Have you?
Currently we're actually, people know, but they don't know, but as he was working on the Tribe album, even months before that, he was working on his own album. So we have an album of his that's complete. I just have to go in and sequence it and rearrange and shift some things, but he's got 13 songs recorded, which is amazing. You know, it's not like we have to go in and Frankenstein any of the beats or versus it's done. So we have video shot. His Tribe stuff was working out for him, and his solo stuff was in motion too.
So we will see that album.
You will, yes.
Yep. Oh, that's wonderful.
Definitely.
So you also produce these Smoke and Shells. Do you still produce those?
I do. Yep, I do.
Okay. What are those?
So Smoke and Shells are, you know, I've been DJing for 26, 27 years, and I feel like a lot of DJs, you know, including myself at times, we take from the culture, but we never give back. You know, so about 6, 7 years ago, I decided to figure out, you know, my exit from actual physical DJing and enter in more of the business side of things. So I stumbled upon the ability to polish head shells, which are what holds the needle that goes on the record, to polish them and make them shiny like chrome, and then be able to brand them with DJs' names. So it was a project of mine to learn how to brand and market these, you know, this product that nobody knew about, and share it with the DJ world, which I've been doing, you know, since then. So I've done products for Red Bull. I just sent DJ Khaled a set. So the word's getting around, and it's really neat to see something go from a baby to actually growing up and being known to the world.
Yeah, it's almost like jewelry, I think.
It is, exactly. It is. And jewelry. People love to see their name, their ego. So when they see their name laser etched on these shells, they get excited. Yeah. which is cool. I mean, I hate egos like that, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
You can make a dollar off of
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. You are a man of color.
Yes.
This is radio. Folks can't see you, mm-hmm. but you're a man of color. You are living mm-hmm. in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. We have just come out of an election that has really shown us a lot about ourselves as Americans and mm-hmm. as people. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about in terms of being a man of color in Georgia?
Yeah, I think, you know, Georgia has, before I moved here, there's a connotation of Georgia. It's very southern, south. You know, you have all the stories and the things you read in history books. So I was very hesitant, but I realized that, you know, times have changed, people have changed, and we shouldn't forget our history and our past, but let's not harp on it, but let's try and learn from it and let's grow from it. Even with the election now, I think people are frustrated. When you're frustrated, you tend to make bad decisions. You tend to become stagnant or just like catatonic. And I think this is the time where people need to be more active and take what they're feeling and channel that energy into something positive and affecting change, and don't give up. Because I think people want us to give up as a people, you know, and historically we have at times. But I think this is a time where we have the internet, where we can be educated. We have really intelligent, powerful people in media, you know, in politics, that we need to actually extract them their resources and utilize that to move forward as a people. And this goes beyond just being of color. It could be any minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can music play a part in that, your music?
I think it can. I think, for example, the Tribe album, it dropped, I think it was just divine design. It dropped at a time when people were sad and angry and they needed something to hold on to. So when that album dropped a couple of days after the election, it gave people hope. You know, I think as they were creating the album, I think they had a premonition. They spoke on the election. They spoke on Trump. I think people in the group had a premonition that something was going to happen, a shift was going to happen in November. So I think in the music there are messages that people are extracting that are helping them get through this hard time.
Are there some songs that come to your mind?
I think definitely this generation. I think the single We the People. I mean, this video, it speaks about empowerment and, you know, just owning what's ours, you know, and not letting anybody take what's ours from us.
And have you done that?
I have. I mean, every day. I mean, just, you know, with Fife's passing, I realized that life is short and you have to live it to the fullest. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can do to keep his legacy alive and keep the legacy of his music alive.
That was Dion Liverpool, better known as DJ Rasta Root. He runs Smoke and Needles Records here in Atlanta, and he also served as Fife Dawg's manager until his death earlier this year. You can find my full interview with DJ Rasta Root at gpbnews.org. We ended our hiatus.